From my alma mater, Pepperdine University. It has been an amazing and fulfilling day here today for all of us, and I'm truly muy, muy excited for today's episode. Today we have a special show for you. Back with us, we have our old co-host, Dawn Marie Luna. We missed you. We also have some wonderful and respectful professional guests, Dr. Hector Adames, Dr. Carlos Santos, Dr. Arredondo, and Dr. Castaneda Sound. And last but not least, we have two community members, Julia Gonzalez and Santiago Manuel, here with us today.
Hey, all right. So our episode today is a powerful one. The title of it is The Impact of Colorism Within Latinx Communities and Mental Health Implications. And this podcast is definitely informed by Dr. Lamas's work. Kelsey and I met him when we attended the NLPA conference in San Diego last year. We sat in on his and Dr. Nali Chavez's Doña's workshop, and we just knew that we had to have both of them or one of them on our show. And so, muchísimas gracias to Dr. Lamas for being here today. We have one, that's wonderful. So we want to provide you also with personal narratives, which will come from our two guests, Julia Gonzalez and Santiago Manuel, discussing emotional wellness and impacts of colorism is still hard to do within our communities, as Dr. Lamas mentioned earlier. What was that word that you used?
Trapitos.
Trapitos, yes. So that's what we're doing today. And so the name of our podcast is called Acá Entre Nos, and it kind of came from the same idea where, like, we don't take things out of our home. We keep them amongst ourselves. And so, you know, we really want to begin to have this dialogue around colorism and anti-blackness within Latinx communities. So this is what today's panel will be about. And so I hold a lot of gratitude for Julia and Santiago for being here and courageously volunteering and sharing your vulnerability with us, so thank you. And thank you to the researchers on the panel as well. Your work is definitely important, and so hopefully we can bridge the gap between the two, the community and the academy.
All right, so we'll give you guys a couple seconds to introduce yourselves. And we could just go around. So.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hector Adames. I am an associate professor in Chicago, and a lot of my work focuses on topics related to race, racism, and colorism, specifically focusing on the Latinx community. It's really an honor to be here, and thank you so much for the invitation.
My name is Julia Gonzalez, and I work in social media. I work for movies and TV shows, and my main focus is giving studios cultural insights on the Latinx community, and to make sure that when they make decisions on social, they make they don't make mistakes, or how they build their campaigns are culturally relevant.
Hi. I'm Santiago. I work in the ER in Compton, and I'm also in Army National Guard.
Hi, I'm Carlos Santos. Most of you know me from just gave a talk here, and I do research related to social identities, in particular ethnic racial identity of interest. I did do some work around phenotype, rich coded kids' appearance along various dimensions to better understand the ways in which phenotype relates to people's experiences of ethnic identity, how that plays a role, and how that might influence people's understanding of their ethnic identity.
Hi, everyone. Buenas tardes. I'm Patricia Redondo. I spoke earlier today on immigrant resilience in the Latino community in particular, but I'm also obviously interested in this topic because in the presentation, I talked about the dimensions of social identities and how within those dimensions of social identities we have these intersections of phenotype, race, and cultural identity for immigrants, and of course language. So this is all very related to our work together.
Hi, I'm Carrie Castaneda Sound, and I am an associate professor at Pepperdine University.
My other job is mom of two small children, and I think while academically I very much relate to this topic, I think personally I've grown more in raising children who are navigating a world that make judgments about skin color often in their lives since they've been in preschool. So I feel like I have more of a personal relationship.
Thank you guys for introducing yourselves. So racism within the Latinx community is rooted in the Spanish, French, and Portuguese colonization of Latin America and the Caribbean. So again, we just thought that this episode was really important for us to put it out there, not just the episode, but the conference in itself, because there's just not enough representation out there. Dr. Adames, can you elaborate on that history of skin color prejudice, please?
Absolutely. So when we think of colorism, it's important to think about what do we mean by that. So I'm going to start with that and then walk us through quickly how it's connected to history, et cetera, et cetera. So oftentimes when we, social scientists and folks in academia and even folks in the community, when they're talking about colorism, they're really talking about the racial discrimination that takes place within an ethnic group. Does that make sense? So within an ethnic group. So if you are being racially discriminated from someone of your own culture, of your own ethnicity, that tends to be what we're discussing or what we're trying to mean by colorism. It is a form of racism, okay? But oftentimes people write about racism when it's happening cross culture or cross groups. So it's so important that Aliento and is doing this conference and talking about this topic because it's seldom discussed. Oftentimes in Latinx, Latino conferences that I go to, it tends to be one or two in a good day, in a good conference where issues of colorism is talked about. But the fact that we don't talk about it is not again, a fluke. We don't talk about it because it's painful. We don't talk about it because it hurts. We don't talk about it because we have to then look inside of us and ask ourselves, have I ever perpetuated any colorism to my brother, my sister, my sibling of Latinx descent? So the history of colorism is not a history that belongs to our African heritage or to our indigenous heritage. It actually belongs to our European and white heritage. So when we think about the history of colorism within Latinx, we need to go back to our racial roots, right? So most Latinx, we could trace our racial roots to three groups, to indigenous, to white, and to Afro, okay? And as I talked about earlier in my talk, we are all mixed today when we kind of think about who we are as a Latinx groups. We've also been socialized through what folks in the social sciences call mestizaje racial ideology. Right, so mestizaje racial ideology is the belief that all folks of Latinx descent are racially mixed, and therefore it's really difficult for us to call ourselves black or white or biracial, etc. Instead, we're all racially mixed, which in many ways is true. We are racially mixed given our history of colonization. However, phenotypically, we don't look all the same. So what that means is that our life experiences are going to be different based on how we are visually othered by society and by systems, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? This is especially true here in the United States, where the United States has a rich and poor history of racism, but it also is alive and thriving in Latin America. So one example of that was in my own country of the Dominican Republic, where Dominicans were racially discriminating against anyone who looked black because they said they're not Dominican, they're of Haitian descent, right? Similar things are happening in Mexico, okay? So if you look at novelas, I just finished watching, now I'm gonna forget the name of the novela, but the novela is El Corazón Nunca Se Equivoca, or Se Olvida, or something like that. So I got so excited, because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a queer novela, and I'm gonna watch it, and I'm gonna watch it with my mom. She's going through her own, you know, anyway, having a queer side. So we're watching, she's back in the East Coast, and I'm in Chicago, and we're dialoguing around this. But then I cannot stop talking about the fact that everyone in the novela were white folks, right? And even white folks who are not of Latinx descent. and
Brad Pitt was the lead.
And this is the images that we're bombarded with, right? These are the images that we're bombarded with. So in many ways, this history of mestizaje prevents us from talking about the pain that comes from within group racial discrimination. Anyway, so those are some random thoughts for now.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so now we're gonna go into the questions.
The questions that we have here for you are, what has colorism looked like in your daily life? Feel free to speak on your experiences in adulthood or experiences in the past. So we really wanna hear from everybody, but we also wanna hear from our two guests.
Okay, so I'm Mexican, and my dad's side is Afro-Mexican, and my mom's side is lighter-skinned Mexican, and so within growing up in a family like that, the boys were more European, white-passing, and then the girls were a lot darker-skinned, we looked more Native American, and my dad's side, they look more black, and so they grew up in Compton, where my mom grew up in Mexico. So we have very different experiences where most of the racial, or just the colorism issues come from my mom's side, because we are darker than our cousins. And so on a daily basis, I remember just looking in the mirror, wanting to be white. My mom bought me some whitening cream because she wanted me to be white. I couldn't go into the pool because then I would become darker, and she would say, no te metas a la alberca porque te vas a poner negrita, that's what she would tell me. And I remember looking in the mirror all the time and like worried about my skin color becoming darker, because that means that I have less value because I am darker skinned. And so that was, those were the experiences that I experienced throughout my life. I remember when I was 10 years old, I told the lunch lady, I was like, I hate my color, my skin. I want to be white. And she's like, you're beautiful. And that's like the first time anyone ever said that to me, because as a child, everyone would say, you're too dark. Or I have straight hair, but like my dad or my aunt, my sister and my brother, they all have curly, coarse hair. And so for them, their experience was a little different, just having to experience their hair, because my grandmother didn't know how to do my dad or my aunt's hair. And so it was just a really different experience than me having straight hair. So I think for me, certain features of mine are more European or Native American, where they're more acceptable, and other features are not. And so I think I experienced, depending on my features, I experienced certain love and hate relationships with them.
My experience is a little different, because I'm black and Cuban. My dad is Cuban, my mom's black. So never met my dad, and he left when I was like 2 months, something like that. So I was raised black, but when I went to school, obviously my name is super Latin, so they didn't know how to like register what I was. So my mom did a good job of like making me value my skin color. The only thing that like I would say when I was younger that I would like get heavily picked on was like my hair, because it was like different. So I just always wanted to have my hair spiked, because that's what everyone did. Like, Mexican people had their hair spiked, white people had their hair spiked, Asian people had their hair spiked, but there wasn't a lot of black people where I wore that. So I was just like, well, I guess I gotta have my hair spiked too. And then I tried, and it wasn't working out. So I was getting really frustrated, and my mom was like, you know, you need to like value that you're different. And then that's when I was just like, oh, well, I'm gonna just stand out. So then I used that to my advantage. So like fast forward, now I'm an adult. When I apply for jobs, I noticed that when I would put like my ethnic group, I would put like other or Hispanic, and I would get calls a lot faster versus when I put like African American, not so much. So I kind of use that to my advantage. I don't like getting answered that question or asked that question, like, what are you or what ethnic group do you identify with? Because I am both. So it's like a tug of war. Which one do I want to be when I feel like I should just be both? So that's kind of like the issue. Like it. So working in the ER, I'm the first person that somebody sees when they come in the emergency room. And one, there's like one story in particular. This lady, she was dying, like literally dying. So I'm doing chest compressions on her, and she comes back, and then the nurses are taking care of her, and then we come back to check on her, and she's like, "You're the one that saved me." And I was like, "I'm one of the people that helped." And then she's like, "Oh, what's your name?" And I was like, "I'm Santiago." And then she's like, what? Like, what are you?" And I was like, "I'm a human." And yeah, she, like, so I get asked that question all the time, like, "What are you? What am I?" And I just say human, just to be funny. But I guess like the biggest struggle that I deal with is which one do I identify with?
One comment that I started thinking when Santiago, when you were speaking, is that colorism within Latinx, we have this pressure that we have to pick, either talk about our culture and our ethnicity, or talk about our race, and it's really hard because we're not socialized to talk about both, because both are equally important.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for sharing that challenge. That unfortunately, it's not just you. And I'm saying that on purpose, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you all for sharing your stories with us. So we're going to jump right into the next question. So how have you managed stress related to skin tone or skin color prejudice and phenotype standards?
I think I don't understand the question.
So the things that you talked about in your childhood and as an adult, what is it that gets you through your days, or you know, your resiliency around navigating the colorism, what you've experienced?
I think for me, when I started doing research on my family, I think in college I had to do like a genealogy research for one of my children's studies classes, and I had to map out like my whole family. And ever since then, I realized I knew nothing about my family history, and that's when I started to do a lot more research. And an emphasis on like my African ancestry was really important to me. And so I read books by like Dr. Marco Polo Hernandez Cuevas. He has really great books on like Afro-Mexican history. And that is what helps me really embrace and love myself for who I am. And the many, just who I am as a person. I think that's when I started to accept my skin color. I started to love myself and every part of me. And just to really emphasize my race and my ethnicity.
Bueno, mi gente, there you have it. Our live podcast at the conference was just absolutely amazing. And I'm very, very sad to tell you guys that unfortunately that is the only clip of the audio that we were able to save. We had some technical difficulties. We didn't have quite the right equipment as our first live podcast. And so something went wrong and we weren't able to finish the episode, or we finished the episode, but we weren't able to have it fully recorded for you guys. So it's really unfortunate, and I'm super sad about it, but I did take a vote, and a lot of people said, well, just give us what you had, because the people that were there were like, dude, it was amazing. You have to put something out there for your listeners. So that's the audio that was saved and that we were able to keep, and that is what I just presented you guys with right now. However, on good news, Dr. Adames said he would be open to doing a part two episode virtually instead of live. That way we'd be able to, you know, get it all going and actually provide you guys with better material. Our community guests had said they would be open to it, and even some of our other keynote speakers. So we're really excited to hopefully sometime in the future, in the near future, in season three, to provide you guys with another episode where we further discuss this topic that is very important and needs to be discussed. And we'll be able to provide you guys with all the audio. For all of you who supported us and were able to make it to the conference, we really hope you enjoyed it. We could not be more grateful with the outcome. We had over 100 guests. Everybody left inspired from what the feedback that we got. People left inspired. People left ready. We had people come in from Texas. We had a guest there that was there from New York. We had another guest that was there from Chicago. It was just amazing to see all kinds of people. And it was our first conference collaboration with it was my first event collaboration with anyone, but it was our first conference collaboration with their alma mater. So that was really awesome. It was just a great experience for me, and I think I can speak for both me and Dawn Marie. And so we really were happy and proud. We went to dinner after with Dr. Gallardo and the keynote speakers and just discussed, and we were all just like, wow, that was very, very amazing. So we're looking forward to doing it again in the future. We've already started talking about that, and we will definitely, you know, let you guys know when that comes. Remember that this isn't just for psychologists or professionals. Anyone can join us, anyone who's interested in learning about mental health, social issues, and how it all plays a part together. So I'll keep you guys posted on this, the redo, I guess, or 2.0 version of this episode with our guest and our keynote speaker. Maybe we'll get additional guests to join us for that episode. I have more episodes coming your way. The live podcast is and was the last episode of our season two. So here I go starting into season three, and I have some pretty cool stuff coming your way. So thank you guys again so much for continuing to support me and for all the love. Please, please, please share about Acá Entre Nos to anyone and everyone you know. Get it out there. We'd love to get our listeners up and our ratings up. And let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what topics you're interested in. Give us your feedback. That's what I need from you guys, to continue this project, because I can't come up with all the ideas on my own. So if there's any episodes that you guys are interested in, any topic that you'd like to hear about, I will make sure to find somebody that can help me discuss that topic just for you guys. So please let me know. On another note, I also wanted to remind you guys that we are still doing the donation drive. We are still taking donations. And we will be going as a group for those of us that want to join on November 9th to meeting here in San Diego, which is where I live now, at the center where Border Angels meets that morning at 10 a.m. We will be taking the donations that we've gathered, and anyone that like to join our group to go and spend the day in Tijuana volunteering. It's such a humbling experience. I'm very excited to be taking a bigger group this time around. I have a couple of people that reached out to me at the conference. My old classmate and colleague Gabby has been very helpful. Shout out to Gabby. She's been very helpful in getting donations. She got some donations the day of the conference. I think she's going to be joining us too if her schedule works out. My friend Cindy, who did it with me the first time when we did the shoe drive, she's been super wonderful and also getting donations. She's even tagged some used clothes to make it look like new so we can get it across the border without any issues with Border Patrol. Everyone's just been wonderful, and I am really excited to be taking a group of more people with me this time around. It's going to be a wonderful experience. You don't want to miss it. I plan to continue to do this as long as I can, maybe again sometime in January or February. So for any of you that are interested but maybe can make it on the 9th, let me know and we can get a group together and I'll head over there. That's about all I got for you guys. Thank you again for listening. I'm really sorry again that the episode was cut off that way, but those of you that did get the opportunity to be at the conference and see it live, I know you guys got to see how wonderful it was. So I promise that I will be bringing in a redo episode for all of you with our community guests and everyone that was there so that you guys are able to get the full experience. Stay tuned for season 3 and everything that I have coming your way. I'm really excited. And for those of you that are joining us on November 9th to volunteer, I'll see you there. Thank you and bye-bye.